Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is my daughter's 11th birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Stella!
Gosh, 11 years old. So I thought we would, I'm joined by two guests today. I might as well introduce them, right? Nicole Thomas, Vice President, Information Sales and Service. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael.
You're my favorite person in Georgia.
Oh, thank you. I feel so special.
And I'm also joined by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Michael.
Happy Friday to you.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to my daughter, Stella, of course.
And that's got to be the best Mother's Day gift ever.
I know. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm at a crossroads today on what to talk about. We could either do pre-WASD, which we have the WASD next week, which I know our listeners would love to hear, or we could go with advice session from Kevin Combs on dealing with a teenage daughter.
That's a different podcast. Yeah. That's a long podcast.
I must say my daughter sort of ruined my parenting life because they didn't cause a lot of problems. Not the best person for that advice.
Well, so I guess what you're really saying is that my daughter is set to cause a lot of problems.
Hey,
you know?
So. Like He's dad, like saying. Daughter, like dad, like daughter.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Statistically.
So I think what we're going to do is focus on the pre-WASD discussion, if I hear you straight. But any of our listeners out there, you can email me your advice to me personally, and I will accept all advice about what I should do with an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, and 13-year-old, what to prepare for. So,
oh, hey, look, the first email just came in and said straitjacket. That's all it says, though.
Probably for me. Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Nicole, let's start with you. And boy, nothing to talk about with corn and soybeans. So what do you think is going to happen next week?
I mean, very quiet market, no volatility, no bullishness.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dry, typical planting season.
Opposite day.
Yeah, totally opposite day. Well, I was going to say the market has calmed down today, but, you know, I haven't looked at it in 15 minutes. So, you know, there could have been some substantive changes there in that little bit of time, just based off of how things have been functioning of late. Yeah, see, I was joking, and then I took a look at the quote board, and looks like we've reversed course a little bit from this morning. We're down a little bit.
Okay.
Now we're back up on corn and double digits on beans because, you know, who doesn't want $17 soybeans, right? Gotta get there. So, you know, maybe some of this anticipation of what we're going to get in next week's WASD report. So let's start with corn. You know, of course, the May report is always a big deal and very interesting to people because this is our first look at 2021-22 upcoming crop season. But before we get there, let's talk about what may change for this year. And just looking at some of the analyst projections, which are always entertaining in the sense that, you know, when you're asked the question of you know, given some projection on what to expect out of the WASD, one side of your brain says, okay, what do I think the number should be? And the other side of your brain says, what am I going to get? So we're just going to go with, you know, what people think they're going to get, I guess, is how to sum this up. So 2021 looks like the average from analysts is domestic stocks to fall by about another 25 million bushels or so. To about 1.33 billion bushels, because, I mean, it's not like we need that number to grow. And then for global ending stocks, there's a pretty broad range from about as low as 275 million metric tons to slightly more than 285 million metric tons, you know, just big enough to drive a truck through. And the average guess puts us a little closer to 279.5. And, you know, the big question is what's going to happen with Brazilian corn production. Safrina crop has been under a little bit of stress. A lot of forecasters are lowering their projections. I think WASDE, as of April anyway, had that number at 109 million metric tons for total crop season. And there are some forecasters out there that think that believe it could have fallen even below 100. So question is, you know, do we see a sharp reduction in that number, or does USDA, you know, go the route of walking it down a little bit? Either way, arguably, some of this projected decline is already baked into the market. But if we see a more extreme reduction towards the lower end of those ranges, that could certainly create some fireworks next week. And then as far as our first look at 21-22, guesses from analysts put the domestic crop average at a bit over 15 billion bushels, which, you know, 10 years ago, we would have been incredibly excited about that. But then we looked at the guesses on ending stocks, which would put them a little closer to 1.327 billion on average. So market under the impression that we will not be looking at a stocks building year going into 21-22. And as far as the world crop is concerned, that production estimate was an average of 1.162 billion metric tons. And early guesses on ending stocks would peg those at 284 million metric tons, which is only slightly higher than what USDA is currently showing for 2021. But again, probably going to see some reduction there. So maybe a little bit of an increase for stocks. But I think either way, you know, 284 million metric tons isn't a whole lot compared to expected increases to demand. So that's what we got for corn. Do you want to talk about soybeans?
Hold on. I'm writing a lot of notes, but yeah, please.
Lots of numbers today. So for soy, looking at the current crop, even though arguably a lot of folks within the trade feel like that number is lower than what we've been seeing, maybe some of the rationale is offset via imports of soybeans, something we don't typically think about in the U.S. But the analyst estimates average at about 118 million bushels for soy ending stocks for 2021. It does seem export sales have slowed a bit with China shifting more towards South America. Interesting figure here. Brazil exported a record 17.4 million metric tons of soybeans last month, of which 74% were destined for China. So they are certainly taking on more of the export demand, particularly for that country. And something we want to watch over time, this was in the news this week, Argentina is, they're progressing well with harvest. The problem is they're contending with low water levels on the Paraná River. And that is being caused by dryness in Brazil, where the river originates. So that is forcing shippers to lower their loading capacities by, you know, somewhere between 5,000 to 7,000 tons to allow for navigation down that river. And we know that's a major thoroughfare for exports of agricultural products out of Argentina. So, you know, we were just talking about one shipment, relatively insignificant, but you add it up and it could at least be nominally impactful or at least slow things a bit. Now, as far as 21-22 is concerned, the average guess for global and domestic soybean production is 374.5 million metric tons for the global picture, and a little over 4.4 billion bushels for U.S. production in the upcoming year. Now, many in the trade believe acreage will increase in June's acreage report. I would put myself in that camp, you know, considering how strong prices have been over the past few months, and the favorable conditions for planting should certainly provide an incentive for producers to maximize production. It is worth noting, however, that recent futures market dynamics have shifted favor towards corn. So you look at the current soybean to corn ratio. So we're taking November 21 soybeans versus December 21 corn. That, at least as of this morning, was at about 2.26, which is more favorable for corn. So plenty of folks anticipating that report at the end of June. Again, do think we're going to see those acreage numbers go up relative to what we saw in the prospective plantings report in March. The question is which row crop is going to get the acreage and whether or not, I guess, whether both will get significant enough increases to sort of change at least the initial thoughts on what that fundamental picture is going to look like in the upcoming crop year. I've done my part to depress everyone going into the weekend, and I am done.
Okay. Well, great recap. hey, sometimes you just put it on the table.
Exactly.
You know. All right, Kevin, you're up. Well, what do you got on
just
sugar?
Just a second. Oh, hold on just a second. I got to take some medicine.
Okay, you're all right.
I'm really depressed now.
Well, you know, I know you.
Lagunitas?
Yeah. Glug, glug. All right, Kevin, what do you got on sugar?
All right. Well, for sugar, again, maybe not quite as exciting as the grains markets, but also not as depressing. So for 2021, you know, at this point, the crops are all pretty good. We'll have some massaging of the Florida number. I think the USDA lowered it 30,000 tons last month, and, you know, it's probably pretty darn close. So we won't see much to talk about on the production side. Beet crops are obviously wrapping up here in the Red River Valley. So, you know, you could see a little bit of massaging there. Again, I don't expect to see much different in that respect. You know, you might see a little bit lowering on the beet crop or something like that. So production-wise, not much to talk about. On imports, we just had the 50,000-ton quota given to Mexico. And, you know, I think that was a reaction to what was going on with the fire at the Baltimore refinery, just making sure they started out and making sure we had some sugar. Obviously, Baltimore's back up and running and, you know, expect to be close to capacity very soon. So nothing really to worry about on that front. And again, so imports, we'll probably just see a 50,000 ton increase. The trade was hoping for more based on the tight number 16 market and raw sugar supplies in general, but we still don't have that TRQ announcement. So probably pretty boring when you look at 2021 crop estimates. And of course, we get 2022 first round. But again, these are based on the planting intentions report and trendline yields. And so, you know, these will be pretty generic. Obviously, they'll come out with a 13.5% stocks to use ratio. They'll assume base level imports. So it's really not an exciting 2022 report for sugar. You know, people ask, well, hey, what's the beet crop going to look like? Beet crop? Well, again, it's going to be based on trendline yields. And when you look at that trend on beet yields, it's really hard to figure out what type of number they'll use, because we've had some really poor yields, particularly in the Red River Valley recently, that have kind of stalled out that steady increase we were seeing over the previous 15 to 20 years. So I would say you'll probably see a number around 5.15 as far as an initial number, just kind of looking at that, again, the flat trend over the last several years, or even a downward trend in the Red River Valley, kind of stunting that increase that we were getting. And cane-wise, I think you'll probably see a little bit lower cane production than what we had this year, but you know, somewhere probably between current crop and maybe 2.1 million tons. So again, not a lot to get excited about one way or the other, not anything that's going to change any markets. I think we'll have to wait and get the first objective estimates based on crop results in July before we really get excited.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate everybody's feedback. Great job, Nicole. Great job, Kevin. And we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up and let people take all those notes and figure out what we're going to do next week. But thank you for the recap. And happy birthday, Stella. Enjoy your special day. Don't grow up too quick, because I haven't gotten all the advice yet from folks out there. So.
It'll come.
It'll come.
Experience.
Please send it in. Please send it.
And happy Mother's Day to everyone. Mom, grandma,
yes,
aunts.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Nicole.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment that you have with your friends and family. And until next week, when we talk about the actual WASD numbers, take care, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.